your agency should move toward a more proactive cybersecurity posture in 2014. Continuous monitoring is the term most people use to describe how agencies should do things, but there are other terms, too, that you'll need to learn this year if you don't know them already. The terms, though, of course, are less important than the results. Scott Montgomery is Vice President, Chief Technology Officer of Public Sector at McAfee and my guest on Industry Chatter today. Scott, it is great to see you here. You're brave. You came out as we're supposed to get a storm this afternoon, and you didn't care. You showed up anyway. It's great to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks
on
for
today.
Having me. Anything for Federal News Radio.
That's very patronizing, but I'll take it anyway. And it's great to have you here, Scott. As I mentioned, we're seeing this is going to be the year where continuous monitoring becomes the de facto policy that agencies are supposed to follow. As they're making that transition, what are the challenges that you're starting to see them ask you about or ask your competitors about or just generally lament as they get ready to deal with this?
Sure. Well, it's interesting. There's an evolution that has to occur, and that evolution is from the sort of static in-time monitoring, or hey, I've got a policy. I'm going to see how that policy did. I'm going to report against how that policy did. That's the FISMA model. And then you've got this evolution where the Homeland's really been on the vanguard here. They've really been out in front of this and said, that's not fast enough. Mm-hmm. Things move faster than that. So let's create a mechanism by which we can continuously monitor and continuously update and continuously address our security posture rather than waiting for a report.
As that transition occurs, and we use terms like continuous monitoring, continuous diagnostics, CDM, are the key phrases here. What are the things that agencies want to do and will need to do? And are those necessarily the same things? Are people thinking in the right directions, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I sure think Homeland is.
Mm-hmm.
And what they've done, they have established two buckets. There's a near-term bucket with a few controls, and that's what the CDM program is all about. Those first four controls cover things like hardware inventory. I own a gadget. Where is that gadget? Who's holding that gadget? What was the purpose they were issued that gadget for? Could be a laptop, could be a desktop, could be a server. But it's a good idea to know where it is and who's using it.
Mm-hmm.
It moves on to software inventory. What's running on that gadget and how is it supporting my mission or my business? These are very fundamental building blocks. And it's a great exercise for these organizations, these federal organizations, departments, and agencies to go through in order to get their arms around what they already own. The good news is that CDM isn't one of these programs where you got to rip out and replace everything you own. Homeland has put together a very, very compelling program that says, hey, if you own sensors, and these are the kinds of sensors, just a functional example, antivirus from McAfee could be one of those sensors. If you already own that sensor, go ahead and leave it. We'll leverage it. But what I like about it, Francis, is that it's an iterative approach. It's not trying to boil the ocean. All it's saying is, look, if we were going to start with a foundation, what would that foundation be? And that's what those first four controls are.
We talked before we went on the air about some of the challenges that agencies face that don't necessarily have to do with technology itself. The fact that budgets will be flat, the fact that the amount of people working on these projects will be flat, the fact that the threat landscape increases, I was going to say exponentially, but that's probably not even accurate at this point anymore. Those kinds of factors don't have anything to do with the ability of a company like yours to work with the government or the government to do the work that it's able to do itself. That's external stuff that has to do more with the ability of the agency to sustain itself from a human resources perspective,
sure.
It sounds like. What does that mean for somebody in your business who's trying to help agencies manage all of this stuff happening at the same time?
Well, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. But what I would say is the conditions that you mention are actually acting as a very unique forcing function. So whether agencies were aware of it or not, it's not actually relevant. I'll give you a functional example. The number of threats that you talk about, and in the McAfee 2014 threat report, we talk about some 460,000 new ones per week. Per week. You talk about the number of IP-enabled devices. My refrigerator has an IP address. My last refrigerator did not have an IP address. But when you see the Internet of Things and the number of things that are going to be attached to the live Internet increasing greater than geometrically, and as you alluded to, the budget and the number of trained practitioners, forget about practitioners, the number of trained practitioners who can lend themselves to the fight remaining relatively flat, it becomes a forcing function. We actually have to do things differently than we did in that FSMA model where establish a policy, measure against the policy, rinse, repeat. We can't do it like that anymore. Things are moving way too quickly.
Mm-hmm. That's a absolutely true statement. The question becomes then, is what you move to the right solution for the situation in which you find yourself? And that applies not just in the cyber realm, but that applies any time you're doing change management of any kind.
Sure. I think again, what I like about the way that they've gone about it is because the approach is iterative, that first bucket, if you don't have a handle on that first bucket, save your cab fare.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a problem anyway.
The threat landscape, the changes in the threat landscape. We talked about the volume at which the threats are increasing. Are they increasing in ways that are predictable? Is not the right way, because of course it's not a predictable environment. But are we able to get more proactive about the way the threat landscape changes and try to anticipate some of the ways or some of the trends, if not the specific threats themselves as they evolve?
That's a great question. The 2014 McAfee Threat Report predictions talks about a couple things, and I want to break this into two buckets. The first bucket is things we should anticipate or that are actually predictable, and there is a bucket full of those.
Mm.
I'll give you an example. People are seeing an increased uptick in the number of pieces of malware that are directed towards Android, for example. Well, why is that? Is it because Android's inherently less secure than another operating system? No. It's because the attackers, our adversaries and attackers and criminals, go where the demand is, just like anybody else does. So I do think there is a bucket that's predictable. Another bucket would be that people are utilizing Facebook in order to do social reconnaissance and gain details about you and what you do for a living. That's fairly predictable. Mm. Facebook is it's a social force. Those are the things where I think tweaks in our normal behavior can actually have a very positive effect upon our cybersecurity posture. There's another bucket, and the one I think you're referring to is the unknowns. But what we've seen at McAfee, it's actually the reason why Intel Corporation buys McAfee in the first place. There's a whole slew of attacks that are going directly towards the silicon of the machine, right to the chip level. And this is an area where the level of sophistication of the attacker is a lot higher, and the gains that they can get are a lot greater. So our strategy is to migrate that security towards the chip level as well, in order to give practitioners who aren't hardware engineers, who aren't processor engineers, the ability to protect themselves.
I want to talk about what the evolution of that threat landscape that you just discussed means when we come back. Scott Montgomery is my guest. He's Chief Technology Officer at McAfee, and we'll continue our industry chatter conversation in just a moment on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. Scott Montgomery, the Chief Technology Officer at McAfee, is my guest on Industry Chatter today. And we were talking before the break about some of the unknown things that agencies are trying to plan for and that your customers are planning for. You talked about the threat landscape evolving toward the chip level of threats. Explain what that means for me as a CIO or a CISO or somebody else who's trying to manage an information technology environment in the federal government.
Sure. So a little technical, but what I'll do is explain the results. When you hit power on your desktop machine, the first thing that occurs is that a set of instructions on what to do next is an interface between the hardware of the machine and what's called its firmware, and then the software. Well, imagine if an attacker could sit at that level where after the power button was hit, their payload would run first. This would be a really good place to sit because you could decide what measures would get CPU attention or memory attention and which wouldn't. So you're literally getting there first. You're literally getting there first and saying, I'm going to make a decision as your adversary what your machine will do and not do.
So this is malware at the firmware and boot up level rather than on the hard drive that runs in the background and you're running Outlook and a web browser and all of that. And in the background, this bad stuff's running.
That's exactly
right.
This is
another layer down.
That's exactly right. And if you think about it, again, the level of sophistication to create these attacks is higher. But man, what a payoff, right? If you can get to that level, you're going to be interpreting everything the machine does and get to decide whether it does or doesn't.
Now,
they
call these, if
your listeners have heard the term, they call them rootkits because they sit right at the root of the machine.
Yeah. Now, when you talked about some of the predictable things that we should expect, and it strikes me that although this is not necessarily predictable, it's also not surprising that the threat landscape should get closer and closer and closer to the very crux of the ability of the network to perform its duties. And that's where you turn the thing on. That's where it all starts. It seems logical that that's eventually where the bad guys would want to get.
No, absolutely. Totally agree. The and if you think about it, this one's scarier to me about devices that were never intended to have human interaction. If you think about it, you hear about smart grid and about cars driving themselves so that we don't have traffic. Well, that's going to be chips. That's going to be chips in cars that are responding to signals and doing what they've been instructed to do. Well, imagine the disruption an adversary can cause if those are the chips that he's inserted his rootkit into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read on the internet sometimes about people who root various devices, and that's the heart of it is you get to the chip level and you tell the chip what you want it to do instead of, you know, I've got an iPhone, instead of booting up iOS, I get it to do it how I want it to do, if I'm interpreting that
correctly.
Sure,
no, that's absolutely
right.
And
that's the deal that you're talking about here. Now, with the complexity of the threats advancing at the rate that it is, and the volume, are agencies able to respond to that in a timely way from a couple different perspectives? Are they able to get the technology that they need fast enough, i.e., does the procurement process fit them in 2014? And do they have the people that they need to execute this, or are they having to come to folks like you on an ongoing basis to say, you got to do this for me because we can't do it ourselves?
So let's break it into a couple buckets. The acquisition process is absolutely going to have to evolve, and there's certainly OMB initiatives around that, and there will be pending. We wanted more legislation in the course of 2013, but the legislation that I think will come in 2014 will assist with that. The number of trained practitioners, when you extend to vendors like McAfee or the DIB or contractors, there is definitely personnel that can assist. But the one thing, it goes back to the root of what we talked about earlier. If we don't change the way that we look at some of these technical problems, we're going to be running in molasses. I'll give you a functional example. One of the things that we advocate at McAfee is the utilization of something called whitelisting. If you think back to your dot-com days and the dot-com run-up, people wanted availability. Give it to me now. Give it to me as fast as you can give it, regardless of whether it's bad or not. That model has to change a little bit back towards confidentiality and integrity as well. And one of the ways we can do that is by tilting a little bit towards something called whitelisting. Instead of sorting out what is bad with limited resources, why not say, here's what this system is supposed to do. These are the five or six functions it's supposed to be able to do, and permit only those.
Mm-hmm.
So make some of the systems that we have at these agencies, at the agency and department level, immune to that mathematical problem. Bad numbers of IPs, bad numbers of attacks, flat budget, flat practitioners. Does that make sense?
It does. And it leads me to another topic that I wanted to cover, which is as we look at network hygiene and we talk about the ability of somebody to manage that, People say over and over again, a network is only as clean as its dirtiest user. And I don't mean that in a bathing perspective. You know, I think about Buckshot Yankee, where I mean, people at the Defense Department are trained about what's what best practices are and what they're not. And yet somebody still picks up a thumb drive that they didn't know where it came from and sticks it in a DoD computer. And we have this incident. Do you get a sense that the idea that everybody is an IT person, everybody who uses technology is an IT person, is sinking in or is getting that down to every last user, that idea down to every last user, still very difficult for agencies?
Well, I don't know if this is going to be a popular message. I'm going to give you the real McCoy. I did a security seminar. I won't say which. It was government, but I won't say what organization. And I went to the first row of people, and we talked about user training. I went to the first row of people. I said, hand me your wallet. And I went down the line. I didn't explain why I was saying it. A couple people gave me their wallet, and a couple people said, well, what do you want it for? And a couple people said no.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed to the first group, and I said, untrainable under any circumstances. I pointed to the second group, and I said, trainable.
Mm-hmm.
I pointed to the last group, said, they don't need training.
Yep.
So I feel like as practitioners, it's our responsibility to take away that email message subject that says, saw you on YouTube last night, because somebody's going to click on it.
Yeah. The concept of phishing is, from my understanding, the most common threat to federal agencies right now. Is that the experience that you're seeing as well?
Absolutely. And what I would say is it takes nothing to create a phishing message, but the level of sophistication and the social reconnaissance, because they're not picking everybody at Federal News Radio. They're picking Francis Rose. They're finding you, the specific person. And the science behind that is where they're really putting the emphasis.
Mm-hmm. That will only get more sophisticated and more complex, too, I imagine.
Well, one of the interesting byproducts, and I hesitate to bring it up, but it was very fascinating to me, the government shutdown itself, we actually identified the people who are really important to keeping the technical infrastructure running, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. The people that that were still working.
That's right.
There's a lot more here we could cover, Scott, and we're just out of time. It's terrific to have you in here. Thank you very much.
No, thanks very much for having me.
Scott Montgomery's Chief Technology Officer at McAfee, my guest on Industry Chatter today. And you can hear our conversation archived later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.